and thinking about developing a heart of gratitude for this morning and asking God to show us how to be more grateful. Can you hear, guys, hear me okay? Sweet. I was reflecting back about how, as a kid, I learned a lot of things that I know knowledge-base-wise through song. And it even happens today, and it continues on. I've been singing the ABC song with my grandsons, you know, and to be honest with you, I can't hardly say the ABCs without thinking about that song. It's just like burned into my brain. We sing Jesus Loves Me and those kinds of things. And honestly, throughout centuries of history, when people weren't able to read all that much, song and music and instruction by learning songs and learning about who God is, it was just crucially important to all of us. And so what I thought we would do as we talk about this idea of gratitude is explore sort of one of the things that song does for us and honestly why we even meet together and sing. Like, whoever came up with the idea, hey, let's gather together and let's sing. You know, like, where did that come from? It's just part of human beings. It's just part of nature. It's part of that learning curve. And you know what? The Bible doesn't tell us that everybody has to sing well. I know some of you guys, you know, you should sing maybe with a lower volume, but it just says be joyful and make a noise unto the Lord and stuff. And so what is that? Why do we gather together? Why does that stir our hearts? And so here's my kind of idea that I'm working with here this morning. Community life or meeting together, like we do corporately here for church and those kinds of things, community life and public worship is designed to create a heart of gratitude. It's designed to create a heart of gratitude. And so I just want to explore how that happens and why that happens. I'm primarily in the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, if you want to turn there. Otherwise, it'll be on the screen. And just let me pray for us before we jump too far in. Father, thank you for giving us the gift of gathering together, giving us the ability to have a place like this where we can read scripture and we can pray and we can encourage one another and we can sing. Father, I'm so grateful for what you do in this experience that we have together. And I'm grateful for these people here where we can share this fellowship together, this singing, this instruction, this learning, this encouragement. And I pray that, Father, today would just be a time that you would stir our hearts to be more and more grateful for who you are and what you've done for us. Jesus, we love you. We can't say that enough. We love you so much. And Holy Spirit, would you just speak to us now and encourage our hearts as we spend this time? It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This first idea about causing gratitude and being together is simply the idea of by meeting together. So I don't know if you've experienced personal times of worship. Hopefully everyone maybe takes some time during the day to read their Bible. Maybe you're like me, you take some time to sing something or listen to good music. As powerful as those moments are, to be honest with you, they pale in comparison to experiencing those moments together. Why is that? I think we just need each other. God made us and created us to be relational human beings. And when we gather together, it's not just me alone trying to slug it out with the God of the universe about everything that's going on in my life. It's all of us together, all of us encouraging one another, whether we know what's going on or not. It's all of us experiencing God in a very powerful way together. Colossians chapter 3, let's start in verse 15, says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." This peace is a word that would have been very clear to those from a Jewish background. Let the peace of Christ, let the shalom, this idea of prosperity and security and welfare and good deeds and those kinds of things, let all those good things rule in your heart. That word is a rule that's synonymous with an idea of an umpire or a referee. If you watch a football game, they throw a flag and they call a penalty on you, or the umpire calls you safe or out, balls and strikes in a baseball game. He's basically saying, don't let anyone in this community throw a flag on you and tell you that Jesus doesn't love you and tell you that you're not a Christian because you haven't done certain things. Don't let anyone rule in your heart. What should rule in your heart is this idea that the peace that comes from Christ, the forgiveness that comes from him, the security comes from him. That's what you should be thinking about all the time. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. We can't experience full peace unless we gather together. We're all one body. That's the way to picture the church. We're a family. We're one body together, and that causes us to be thankful. The book of Hebrews talks about it in a little bit more of a direct way. Flip over there to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he, God, who promised us peace that would rule in our hearts, right? For he promised is faithful to help us with these things. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, all the more as you see the day of Christ coming back approaching. There's something that happens when we gather together that stirs our hearts, that encourages our hearts, that gives us hope. How many of you guys occasionally, though, find yourself not wanting to come to church? Maybe it's cold outside, there's a lot of snow, maybe not wanting to go to your small group Bible study, maybe not wanting to be around other believers. Now, I'm not going to make you raise your hand, but every one of you should be honest and say, sometimes you're just not that excited about gathering together. And I get that, okay? I get that more than you know. I spend my entire life working with people. The last thing I want to do is gather again and see all you guys all the time, all right? Now, I'm making fun of myself a little bit. That's part of my job, but I'm just telling you, I understand that. I understand that sometimes what I want to do is be alone and sleep in and watch TV. But the long-term goal of what we're trying to do here is being alone doesn't create the peace of Christ in my heart. The peace of Christ in my heart is created when we're relationally connected to one another. When we gather together, when we encourage one another, when we talk to someone and say, I'll pray for you, you know, you pray for me, when we read scripture together, there's something that happens in this gathering that is very, very powerful. We realize that God is Lord. He is the God of all hope. Let us consider how we can give more hope to each other as we gather. And part of that gathering is singing. People that don't even really like baseball, per se, if you go to a Red Sox baseball game and they win at the end of the game, what do they sing? Sweet Caroline, right? Anybody know who sang that song, who wrote that song? He's a great Christian hero. Not really, but his name is Neil Diamond, right? Every time I see Neil Diamond, I want to wear one of those shirts where my chest hair shows. I mean, he's just kind of a crazy dude that way. He needs to button it up just a little bit. But people gather and they sing. Why? Because they're happy and people aren't even singing well, but it's just we're together. We're here at this ballpark. Isn't this great that they won? Sweet Caroline. Bah, bah, bah. I mean, it's crazy what happens. That should be the similar kind of thing, you know, minus Neil Diamond, but it should be the same kind of thing in church, where when we gather together, we just can't help but want to sing. When I was in college and I wasn't really a part of a gathering, a body, I wasn't really part of a church, I showed up one night at this organization called Campus Crusade. They were having a weekly meeting and they were singing songs. And I remember thinking, wow, these people are really weird. Because they were clapping, they were singing songs. I didn't know the songs. I didn't know what they meant. But I got to tell you, when I stood there for 4 or 5 minutes or so in the back, trying not to be noticed, and watched these kids sing and talk about Jesus through these songs, all of a sudden I realized, man, these guys have something that I don't have. Not only do they have a close relationship with Christ, but they have each other. And I didn't have anybody like that. And I wanted what they had because I saw what was going on in their gathering. It's my hope and prayer all the time that when people come and when you visit especially or you invite your friends, that they'll be encouraged by what they see as we gather. They'll be encouraged by what we talk about and who we talk about most of all. His name is Jesus Christ. They'll be encouraged by what we sing together. By simply meeting together, God does great things and stirs gratitude in our hearts. The second idea is by singing together. I want to talk about this specifically. So we gather together and we encourage one another. We pray, all those kinds of things. But when we gather, we sing. And I've talked about this, but let me just hit it just a little bit more. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the nature of the gospel, Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, all that he's done, and all that he has taught, all that's associated with Jesus Christ, let the word of Jesus Christ dwell in you, attach itself to you so that it's part of who you are richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. As I teach and instruct you, we do that to each other, and as I admonish you, admonishment is more of a practical word of applying scripture in a really, really heartfelt way. As I talk to you about who Jesus Christ is, but as I also talk to you about you need to obey Jesus Christ, and here's why you need to obey, and I admonish you to follow him. And you do that, how do you teach and how do you admonish one another? What's the environment that we do that in? It's through singing. This is one of those passages, if you wonder why we gather and sing, this is one of those passages, this is why. as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms. The Old Testament psalms, were many of them were written as gathering worship songs for all of us, as you sing hymns and spiritual songs, gospel songs, led by the Holy Spirit and the power of His Spirit, with gratitude in your hearts to God. As we sing these kinds of songs, we are filled with purpose and meaning and gratitude. Now, here's the deal about singing. Sometimes churches struggle, and not as much as they used to years ago, but sometimes people struggle with what they want to sing in terms of musical style or preference versus the content of what they sing, all right? So we all have preferences, don't we? We all have different styles of music that we like, and that's fine. But the style of music isn't what's holy. It's the content of what we sing that should drive us together, okay? My grandmother, as long as she lived, she was convinced that if you played guitar in a church, you not only were going to hell personally, but you were leading other people to go to hell because guitars were evil. Sorry, Mark, I don't believe that, but it's just that's my grandmother, right? So she was so caught up in the preference of a style and how it was bought, she missed the content of what was being sung. Now, those of us that are very contemporary and we love rock and roll and music and all kinds of crazy stuff like that, we got to watch that we're the same kind of way and arrogant in our own way, where we like kind of the style and the content gets watered down. Part of what has to happen is good singing, good content, style and preference and variety, you know, all those kinds of things are important, but not the most important. And what is God saying to us as we sing these songs? We try really hard to craft services, all of our worship leaders do, where we sing songs with good content that will instruct you in your following Christ, that will teach you and admonish you more in who Jesus Christ is. And we try to do that in ways where we can do it together and we can learn from one another. It's not just songs, it's singing songs together that makes a difference. There's something powerful about being together. It's not a song, but let me read something to you, or let me just say something to you and see how you feel about it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What's that? It's the Lord's Prayer, and it's powerful, right? Well, sort of. It wasn't designed to be spoken alone and to necessarily be listened to. It was designed to be prayed and corporately done together, okay? There's many different versions of this, but let's just try this together and see if it feels just a little bit different, okay? Just try this with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I don't know if you feel that, but that's a big difference for me. I'm not alone. You guys are believing this stuff with me. We're encouraging it with each other, encouraging each other as we say those things together. I know, you know, we all probably learned that with a little bit different words, but the spirit of what we're saying there is powerful, and that's just like what happens when we sing together. There's something in creation, the way God designed us, that singing is important. It says in the Psalms that the rocks would cry out and praise God in song if we didn't. So we get this great privilege of being able to do this together, and it stirs gratitude in our hearts. We learn about who Christ is, and we encourage one another. This last little thought about this idea is, how can we gather together and be more grateful? By meeting together, not forsaking that meeting, by singing things together, but also by praising the name of Jesus together, by actually saying his name out loud. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do, okay, as we teach and admonish one another with songs, we gather together, we encourage one another, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. How you live, how you breathe, what you do, what you say, we live and we do things because of the name of the Lord Jesus. In Old Testament times, the Jewish people would have caught this phrase, the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord, that referred to God himself. But what's being said here is the Old Testament God that you know is now Jesus Christ. Jesus is that name of the Lord. And when you live for his name, when you say his name, it has a powerful effect on the gathering and on your own life. Speak the name of the Lord out loud and be encouraged by who he is and what he does. Continue to walk in that name. Will the way that I live my life be pleasing to the name of the Lord? Will the way that I work in my workplace be pleasing to the name of my Lord? When I do gather with others, I come sometimes, like all of us together, we don't always come like totally healed and excited. Some of us are broken when we come because we've made mistakes or we haven't lived as faithfully as we should or whatever it is. But when we gather together in the name of the Lord and the forgiveness that comes through his life and death and resurrection, we can be at peace. We can be forgiven. We can be thankful. And we can stir each other towards gratitude. We've been talking a lot about hymns and songs and spiritual songs. This is a little bit of a confession. I've got an old hymnal here. I don't know if you guys have one of these. I actually stole this, but hopefully God will forgive me. This was the first church that I ever worked at. It was called Putnam City Baptist Church. Started working there in the early 90s. And part of my job was to work with single adults, but also part of my job was on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights was help fill in and lead music. I was a music major in college, and so I'd lead these songs. So maybe it's just a little bit me, and maybe it's not just all of us. But I got to tell you, this week I was thumbing through all these hymns, and there's very few that I don't know. And they're not necessarily on the forefront of my mind, but when we start singing them, it's like I'm back to when I was a kid or 20 years ago, and I'm praising God for the great content that's here. And that's what we're striving to do when we worship together each and every week. Why? Because we love Jesus and we want him to work in us, but also we want to leave this place with great gratitude and with great hope so that we can pass that on to others. There's a song here that just caught my attention here. I stand in the maze of the presence. Let me just read it to you because reading is powerful, right? I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Content, most important. Words are powerful. But there's something extra special when you actually sing it, all right? I'm not going to give you the words, so if you don't know it, just hum along, but sing with me. I'll try to help you through this. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. It's make a noise unto the Lord, not necessarily sing it well, but that's okay. How does that feel? Different than just reading it? And music has a weird effect. It sticks something in your brain far better than almost anything that I could ever do for you. So I just want you to consider these things. Maybe one of the reasons why you struggle and we all struggle together of meeting together and finding gratitude in our hearts and singing songs is we're not investing in the meeting and the singing as much as we should. And so maybe you should do a little bit more investment. Maybe you should maybe learn some of the content of these songs that we're singing. We could do a better job in probably helping you do that. Maybe we can provide some playlists or some things of some really good songs that you should listen to as you drive around and those kinds of things rather than just talk radio. Allow more musical content and scriptural theological content into your life and see if God would help you recall who he is and how he's been faithful. He might teach you. He might encourage you. He might call you to repentance. I remember one time being in a service where we were singing a song and it didn't have anything to do with what the preacher was preaching about. This song just rocked me and I realized how sinful I was and I couldn't wait to tell God I was sorry. I don't know if you've ever had an experience like that. It was like, it's not time to come up yet, Derek. Sit down, sit down. It's not time to come up. I just wanted to run up to the altar and say how sorry I was. And it was this song that did it to me. How we prepare each other for the battle when we sing and when we pray. I just want us to understand where gratitude comes from. It comes from people. We heard it in the first week. It comes from what we talked about last week. The gospel of Jesus Christ. How can we be grateful for anything without the reality of Christ's forgiveness in our lives? And it comes from praising God. Saying the name of Jesus in song and singing, whether you're good at it or not, and allowing God's Spirit to instruct you in those things. So if you have that note, that little insert that we gave you the first week, if you're not, they're back by the Welcome Center. You were listing people that you were thankful for. You're listing reasons why you were thankful for the gospel. This is a really good exercise. Maybe you could even list some songs that you sing or that you have sung that have really meant something to you. And try to think about that just a little bit more. But we've designed the service just in a little bit of a unique way. I wanted to teach sort of first, and then we're just going to sing together. And hopefully you'll listen to these words, you'll sing them, and you'll mean them, but God will instruct your heart and show you some things about your life that need to be different as a result of singing these songs together. So as the worship team comes up to help us in this leading, let me pray for us. Father, personally, I just want to thank you for the gift of gratitude that comes from you, primarily through the gospel and your initiating with me, your love with me. But I want to thank you for the gift of instruction and teaching and encouragement that comes through music. Father, we want this to be every week a time of producing not only thankfulness and gratefulness in our heart, but a time of true praise into how great you are and how much we love you. Father, we don't want to just say words, we want to produce experiences and memories that will lead us into whatever comes this next week, will guide us in strength and courage to whatever we have to face. That we'll know that things are going to be okay because some of the things that we've sung together remind us of your faithfulness and of your goodness. So, Lord, whatever you need to do in our hearts right now as we sing, speak to us now, instruct us. Make us grateful in all things, Lord, and we'll praise you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.